This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutin, with me Tan Chung Han and Joyce Goh, and it's time to look at the top business stories of the day. We're going to begin with UMW Holdings. It's extended the deadline to take over MBM Resources by another 6 months. According to Maybank Investment Bank, on behalf of UMW, told the exchange today that the new expiry date of 31st of October was to enable parties involved to deliberate on its offer. The new deadline is also applicable for UMW to buy over PNB Equity Resources' 10% stake in Padua. MBM owns 22.58% effective equity interest in Padua.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to watch whether or not this will actually pull through, this deal. I think at the end of the day, you can extend the offer date, the expiry date and all that. But, you know, if you were to up the offer price, I think that is what everyone's waiting for. Not so much for the extension of the offer date. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think, you know, it's how much you value the company. But, you know, what we can gather from this is everyone just wants a stake in a Produa.
Right, you know, because Perodua, I believe they have increased their market share more this year. You know, last year, the number that was being bandied about in terms of Perodua's market share was about in the 30s, right? But according to industry data, in February of this year, Perodua's market share has exceeded 40%, right?
Wow.
So, you know, I guess, you know, to many people, that means that they've become more valuable, more lucrative. They've got a bigger slice of the pie, right? But yet, it appears that UMW is not budging on that 2 ringgit and 56 cent share per offer. They have had opportunities in the past to raise that offer price, but they didn't. Instead, they give extensions, this one latest one being 6 months.
They won't raise it for now, but yeah. I mean, who knows? I mean, they've extended it to October 31st, and they have a lot of listing rules, you know, like how many times you can extend, you know, and for how long, and, you know, how many times you can up the offer. And you know, it gets really convoluted when it comes to these kind of takeover deals, especially when both parties are not, it's not exactly very clear cut, right? And whether, you know, there's an actual, there is a buyer and there's a willing buyer, willing seller. So in this case, yeah. Yeah, I think it boils down to the price and valuation.
You know, yeah, and that's something that's brought up, I think, in some discussions around the M&A activities in Malaysia, you know, whether valuations have been realistic, mm-hmm. that the people selling often put too high a price on their assets, and therefore, you know, it's really dampened that M&A activity in the country.
Or sometimes people buying put too low a price.
Ah,
yeah.
Well, that's yeah, so it depends on whose side you take on the story. Yeah.
Right. So the reason we're talking about this is because you've got the shareholders at MBM Resources who will be holding an EGM later today. Now, you've got a story in the Edge Weekly that mentions that Daihatsu, right, which owns about 30% of Perodua, they could throw a spanner in the works. Apparently, according to the Edge Weekly's, they understand that Daihatsu had expressed in writing its displeasure at how this takeover attempt has been made, right? So, you know, we'll try and see if we'll see a press release or a public statement out of Daihatsu, you know. But again, keeping in mind that's the EGM for slated for later today, I believe. Yeah.
You know, what's interesting about, you know, cars in this country is that I think for a long time, cars, and maybe it's probably still true, cars are seen as a sign of personal progress, right? That you own a car. It's, you know, and I think a lot of young people expect to be able to own a car coming straight out of university. Not necessarily true of a previous generation, but cars really a symbol. And I think the national car policy was so much in line with that, making people feel that they've achieved something. But it does go back, especially in the 21st century, to a larger question about the environment and whether, you know, our public transport has suffered as a consequence of our automotive policy that's really encouraged people to become car owners.
Yeah, but, you know, now with ride sharing and public transport, you know, et cetera, you know, that perhaps it erodes at the need to own a car. But whether or not owning a Perodua vehicle is a sign of status, that remains, that's objective.
Well, if they have over 40% share, that's quite a lot. And does that have to do with the new Myvi and new models coming out?
Yeah, it looks like,
potentially,
you know,
right?
But you've got, you know, Proton, who's got a pretty exciting lineup, you know, slated for this year. We'll have to see. I think they're going to compete in the SUV market as well. Proton is set to announce their SUV, will release it soon. And Perdua, there's plenty of chatter about them entering the SUV market as well. So perhaps a bit more competition there.
You know what? Just to finish the thought, though, I mean, there are these global trends, and I'm not sure if we are in step with them. For instance, instead of buying property, people rent. That's something that happens in some big cities and in mature economies. And then people not wanting to learn how to drive and not owning a car. That's also another trend. I don't think Malaysia is going to fall in line with that anytime soon.
Well, you could also rent cars. You don't buy cars, but you can rent cars. But again, to me, I feel at the end of the day, it boils down to price. How much does it, as opposed to buying a car, how much that takes up compared to renting a car or taking public transportation or ride sharing for the fact.
Right. Real quick, since that takeover intention was announced on March 9th, going back to this story, MBM Resources shares have gained 8.6% so far. We'll see how they fare, going into today. We're about an hour away from market open, but it's still it closed at RM2.39, still below that RM2.56 offer that's still on the table, although the deadline has been extended.
Okay, some interesting clouds on the horizon for retail. A recent news of a number of retail stores closing and the exit from the country seen by some as alarming. But statistics show that the total number of new retail entrants still outnumber the total number of retail stores that have closed. So it's a kind of a balanced picture. A total of some 71 new retail brands made their maiden foray into Malaysia last year, while another 24 new foreign brands opened their stores in the first quarter of this year.
Yeah, and so this article here, or these comments from the RGM Managing Director Tan Hai Sin, whom we've had on the Breakfast Grill last year, I didn't even know that some of them have actually closed down. So names like Pumpkin Patch, apparently.
And that's not a store that I would walk into, Pumpkin Patch. I mean, I might look a bit like a pumpkin, but...
You are a Pumpkin Patch. All right, so, Pumpkin Patch, Hello Kitty Cafe, Bubba Gump. I didn't know Bubba Gump had closed down as well.
I didn't know that as well.
Yeah, but some of them, we know. I think that's
True Fitness.
Yeah, True Fitness. I think that one many people know. Bulgogi Brothers, people know. Gap, yeah. Tour de Jour, yeah.
So this is a story in the Edge Financial Daily. So basically what they're saying is that, the news of retail stores closing is quite alarming, but you have the entrance of new retailers as well. I remember I had a breakfast grill with Paul Sleving. He's the MD of Estee Lauder. Ah. And this was in February, and he shared with us that that they'll be launching Asia's first freestanding Tom Ford beauty store in KLCC in the middle of this year. So you can see that there's still demand, and this is the first. And I asked him why Malaysia, and he says, "Oh, because there's potential here, and people are buying." And this is we're talking about ultra luxury beauty segment.
All right. I know this is radio. You guys can't really see facial expressions, but when Joyce was rattling off name dropping there, Sharad just lit up. And like, oh my God. You need to calm down here, Sharad.
He wants to go to the Tom Ford beauty store?
Cabbage Patch. I'm going to graduate now. Interesting about many of these foreign brands is they use Singapore as their springboard to Southeast Asia. And maybe as a spillover effect, they often expand into Johor Bahru. And that, of course, is also an interesting dimension to, the retail story.
Right.
Do you think this is also due to the changing customer habits and how everyone's going online, e-commerce? Do you think that's a factor as well why some of these retail stores are closing down as opposed to expanding? Maybe they're closing some down and some stores down and they go online.
But yet you've got these retailers, these foreign retailers who are coming up, apparently setting up brick and mortar stores. So some of the names that are being dropped here is Royal Tea from China, Omaya from South Korea, The Alley from Taiwan, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Emac and Bolios from the US. If you know what these brands do?
Or are you excited by these brands?
Yeah, well, let us know. 018-789-8899. Chirat, less excited about those names I mentioned there.
Well, because like you, I'm completely befuddled. I'm not quite entirely sure what they do. You know, I still do like the brick and mortar experience. And I think perhaps, and I'm not quite sure if that's my age, but I like to see things. I like to, you know, I like to see those colors because the color saturation on your screen, very different from what you see in real life. So sometimes to get a sense of something, you really do need to see the real product.
Yeah, and to try on the actual product and the sizing and all that. Coming back to your comments, Sharon, on Singapore and how they're setting up in Johor, maybe it's also the whole Singaporean dollar factor. Singaporeans go across to Johor and do their shopping.
So that means that it's not real Malaysian domestic demand. It's more like
speculation. I'm just speculating.
But good for the shops all the same. Doesn't matter where the person is coming from. Now, okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be back with The Breakfast Grill. Our guests this morning, Amir Farid, Director of Strategy at KRA Group, and Ben Sufian, Program Director of Merdeka Center. The question before us this morning is GE14 and voter sentiment. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.